Hello, welcome back. Thanks for staying tuned. Too Hard Factor 90.3 Nigeria Info and Herringbone Harcourt. I'm Dion. 11 minutes going past 4 p.m. Conversation continues. And the matter we'll discuss the next has to do with competence and leadership in Nigeria. Do they go hand in hand, or are they parallel lines that can never meet, especially as far as the Nigerian situation is concerned? Can Nigerians identify competence when they see it? Does Nigeria have competent people? If Nigeria does, why does it seem they don't make it into leadership positions, especially politically? These and other related matters we're looking at in this hour. Now, this conversation is off an item on our news from yesterday, I do believe. Here's the said news item once again. Political analyst Kenneth Nweke says the outcome of the primaries of the major political parties has shown that politics in Nigeria is based on ethnicity and not competence. Professor Nweke, lecturer at the Department of Political Science, Ignatius Ajuri University of Education, told our correspondent it is unfortunate those who have the capacity and energy to rule the country are not given the opportunity because of their ethnicity. Here's what he said.
The kind of politics that is being played today is not about who should be able to offer to Nigerians the much needed development that has eluded us over the years. It's not about the capacity of individuals. It's about where they come from. But ordinarily, no sensible human being will see an old man that has no capacity to deliver, and then we want to settle because of what a person can offer and where the person comes from and other.
Professor Nweke said if the trend is not addressed, the country will continue to be underdeveloped.
Our own people have become instruments in the hands of these ethnic majors to continue the perpetuity of underdevelopment of our people. And so if business as usual as far as I'm concerned, if Nigerians would allow this to continue, people who have no advanced in age, that no longer having the kind of fitness that the office of Mr. President requires, are now being given opportunity to continue to rule us or lead us in this country. And that's where we have gotten ourselves. And except Nigerians begin to turn a new leaf, especially the younger one, in taking responsibilities, in having their PGCs.
And joining me for this conversation right now, can Nigerians identify competence when they see it? I've got joining me via phone, Professor Kenneth Nweke is a professor of politics and governance at the Ignatius Ajuri University of Education. Professor Nweke, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, everyone. People in Nigeria.
Now, before we get to some of the broader issues as far as this matter is concerned, I'd like to get a deeper insight, if you will, as to your thoughts on this matter. So I must ask you this question first off. If the candidates that emerged from the, as you termed it, major political parties, if at least one of the candidates had emerged from the south-south region of the country, would you still have held this view?
It doesn't matter. If any of the candidates have emerged from any of the political parties from the south, and it's in that category that we are looking at the old people, you know, who are being recycled and all that, who are being recycled, you know, within the corridors of power. I will still hold that same opinion. It doesn't matter. It's not about the south. But again, when you just suppose that, you know, with those who run this particular office, they are not as old as you think. Governor Wike is in his mid-50s. Minister Meji is in his mid-50s and all that. Godzilla Fabio, I don't think he's more than 60, I doubt. And so, we are saying Jackery is in his mid-50s, if it's not even less than that. And then who again? And another. So it doesn't matter. So if we have had those from the south that are in this category of old people, like that, it's not a cost to be an old man. It's a good thing. All of us, you know, look towards becoming old. And it's something that everybody must appreciate. If we die on, if by grace I have 4 children today, and those 4 children are my pride and the pride of the society. And so if what they will do today, I begin to take those responsibilities out of those children, then what is the place of those children that are abroad? And so also it is in this generation. If, for instance, in the next few days I'm going to turn 50 and I'm not able to offer a lot to this generation when I still have strength today. So when will I do that? It's when I get beyond the 70 that I will not be traveling with my children. It's an error for goodness sake. And so when you are 70 and above, you should just sit back and become kingmakers and all that. And then allow our children, because our children are born, you know, to offer greater things than we are offering today. And so what is it that anybody wants to offer to Nigeria today that you have not offered in the last
2 years? Professor Nweke, I believe you're saying from the story I read a while ago and your comments, which I played back just a while ago as well, I believe that you're saying largely that leadership in Nigeria is not competence-based. Now, if that's what you're saying, what then is Nigerian politics based on, if not competence?
It's about, one, where do you come from? Two, what can you offer? Because, you see, I have always held this opinion, and I stand, you know, to be challenged. You see, yes, we have leadership problem in Nigeria. We also have policy problem, even more than leadership. Because when you are leading those who are leading are fewer in number than those who are following. And so if we decide as the people who are following that won't follow CPC anymore, of course, we follow blindly and we don't want to know, then we are heading towards destruction. We are heading nowhere. And so for me, what obtains in Nigeria appears to be, you know, who gets what, how, and when. You know, and so because that's what politics is all about. And so you belong to, you know, a particular tribe in this country. And if you do so, what do you also have to offer? And so even those who come from the so-called minority who feel for change are also used or offer themselves as instruments in the hands of ethnic majors in this country. There's nothing wrong in coming from ethnic majors as far as I'm concerned. There's no sentiment, you know, that anybody can express about it. But when there's injustice, if ethnic majors can look at your face from the ethnic minority and then tell you to your face or by their actions, inactions, that you have nothing, you know, to do if you continue to hold sway, power. And it is this magnetism that I can look at, you know, the enormity of resources that we have in this country that is coming underneath the South. And yet, these resources cannot be reconciled with political power. No, it's an error, for goodness sake. So why should I have oil and gas in the moment of oil and gas under the needs of South? And yet, when it comes to, you know, political issues or political power, for instance, and ethnic measures will push us aside, and then our own people, for goodness sake, will not become instruments in the hands of ethnic measures to undermine our code. Look at what the government suffered in the hands of the people of South, who also found their own. It also happened in the case of Rotimi. It was even the South person who fired the fence shot because of Nick and Honey. Is this anyone's imagination that rather than depend on competence in this country, rather than depend on, you know, Nigerians, genuine Nigerians, young Nigerians who have fitness, physical fitness. I've always said that it is not about, you know, one's health condition that will determine, you know, how much one can live in this world. You can see somebody who is sick today and you think that he will die tomorrow. And then somebody who is not sick at all goes to bed and then he dies the next morning. But because life is what of thee. But again, you must, you know, the office of the president of this country, you know, requires fitness completely, physical fitness from head to toe, for goodness sake, because sometimes you need to sit in the office for hours. You need to move from one place to another for, you know, days, weeks, and all that. You need physical fitness beyond
what God can offer you.
Professor Nweke, I believe that for the purpose of this conversation, we are discussing beyond just the position of the president. We are discussing leadership in general. And that means any elected position, whether it be the president, be it governors, be it local government chairman, be it members of the legislature. Now that said, what is responsible for this seeming lack of competence in politics, governance, and leadership in Nigeria? Because even as you identified a while ago as well, from the first question I asked you, even if candidates had emerged, especially for the position of president in Nigeria and major parties, it doesn't guarantee that the candidates would have been a competent person. So, that said, once again, what is responsible majorly for this lack of competence? Why competence is not put forward as a standard, as a yardstick in our politicking and leadership in Nigeria?
The answer is simple. Those who are saddled with the responsibility of electing these ones have become, very vulnerable in their hands, politically very vulnerable. Why do I say so? I was one of those who supported indirect primaries, but I also shared with you, I can remember vividly, that it has its own challenges.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
And you're welcome back to Hard Fact to Nigeria Info, here in Port Harcourt. I'm Diet, and we have in Port Harcourt's biggest conversation. Thanks for joining in. My guest is Professor Kenneth Nweke. He is a professor of politics and governance at Ignatius Ajuru University of Education. Professor Nweke, you're welcome back.
Thank you,
Dio. And we're looking at competence and leadership in Nigeria. The professor's position is that they're kind of like parallel lines in Nigeria. They don't meet. Now, Prof, before the break, you were responding to a question I asked, and that's you've established a point already, which is that leadership or governance and politics in Nigeria is not competence-based. And I was asking, what is responsible for that? Why is competence not put forward as a definer, as a yardstick, while either our internal party politics is going on, or even on the larger scale, after elections are contested and won, and victors emerge? Why is that the case?
Of course, like I said, that of course, what you can see that is largely responsible is not out of leadership and fellowship idiosyncrasies, so to say. Why do I say so? But that's more of followership than even leadership, like I was trying to establish. That of course, you have a few leaders, but you have more followership, so to say. But even at that I was also trying to establish the fact that I was one of those who supported the indirect mode of primary because it will bring about less elections or primary elections less to a point of less being less than current, so to say. But that it also has its own challenges, and these challenges that we have today about both buying, the delegates buying and all that, it's an issue. And I've also said clearly that our people are gullible. The followers that we have, political followership that we have in this country, is fraught with gullibility, in terms of what they can get in elections. So it's easy. You can now understand you know, the differences or the benefits or the disadvantages, again, of between direct and indirect mode of election, where delegates, you know, can be bought, or even their leader can be bought over easily. Because if for instance, APC had about 2,300 delegates, PDP has less than 1,000. And so, and then calculate their political leaders who took them to Abuja, because I've always said that those who are political leaders are the only ones that see the follow-up. They don't have eyes to see. They are visually impaired. They can't see. So they see through the eyes of their leaders. And so, in this kind of system, I'm trying to establish the fact that, you know, the problems we have in this regard, we are competent, you know, can no longer, I mean, or competence is not the yardstick in measuring or bringing about leadership, political leadership. Is due to the fact that the system has been issued is structured to favor the ruling elite. And of course, the ruling elite will never do anything. They will never involve any system that cannot benefit them in any way. And then our people, being very gullible, the followers being very gullible, you know, become instruments in the hands of this one. So it becomes very easy, of course, to buy delegates and buy, of course, buy their leaders and then buy the delegates alike. For people who in this country have not seen, you know, something to eat, something to sustain themselves, including those who have been in power over time. Because, of course, they are unable to manage their resources in such a way that, you know, they are able to keep, you know, their family. So every other time they are looking for something. Even this thing we are talking about recycling and all that. Look at today, we are hearing that the people, some people like Akpabio, you know, are now taking up a senatorial position. He was in Senate before, you know. So what is he, what have they forgotten in Senate that he wants to go, because probably he lost election here, or sorry, he became an instrument in the hands of, you know, some ethnic measures, you know, to undermine the interest of the South East, so to speak. And so today he's going to he wants to pick up a ticket or pick up a ticket to go to the Senate. And so this amounts to recycling. If, for instance, as a professor that I am in the university, and either I offer my age, by his grace, in the next few days I will come to. And so I have the next 20 years, for instance, if I want to remain in academics, you know, I always been involved all hours of my life. Then if I retire, if I'm supposed to retire in the next 20 years, what should make me to alter my age? If I do so, it means that I'm changing our own children. So where will my children work? Where will the children of other people work and all that? So if we begin to recycle ourselves that we don't want to leave the system to the political thing, then it becomes, you know, something that is already structured in such a way that even the younger ones can no longer come in. Because, of course, you know that the Nigerians are very vulnerable when it comes to money and all that.
Prof, let's talk about Nigerians then. You talked about the followership a while ago. Whilst political parties, I perceive, are kind of like clubs, you know, and if anybody sets a group of people set up a club, they can determine what the outcomes will be. They can determine how they want to run the club. They can determine how people perceive them. They can determine their internal workings. However, those who are observing the activities or actions of this club can decide to identify with that club or not identify with it, depending on how positive or negative they believe the influence of that club is. So let's talk about the people. Is it that Nigerians are incapable of identifying competence, even if it is staring them right in the face? Because yes, maybe the major parties that have been leading or ruling the country in different capacities over the years have been churning out or have been making their decisions as to what candidates to put forward based on other factors devoid of competence. But one could argue that maybe some other parties that may not be so big or so popular may have put forward candidates who actually are competent, but for some reason the masses or the people look away from them. So back to my question. Is it that Nigerians cannot identify competence or do not appreciate competence or just don't want a competent person or competent leaders?
The major political parties have numbers of, in terms of members, large members, and these large membership that they have become very vulnerable to all the membership is asking for is what comes to them, because of course the system is structured such that let's be able to call them. There's no need to I think for instance, you know, is a big businessman in Nigeria and a politician for that matter. Likewise, Bola Ahmed Tinubu. He's a big businessman, businessman, so to say. Because most of them became very, very, you know, famous, you know, politically, either before they became businessmen. So, when you look at this set of people, of course, then you have people who hardly would have 3 square meals a day. And they hardly would talk about integrity. Because integrity has been thrown to the mob, for goodness sake, in Nigeria. Nobody talks about value realization. Nobody talks about, you know, integrity. If you watch, you know, during the presentations of those plant bearers, if you get to know and register or challenge them, that all those who are throwing money here and there, you know, the delegates to challenge those who are throwing money here and there, how they got their money, and all that, they stop it. But Nigerians, most Nigerians are not ready to ask those questions. And of course, because, you know, major political parties have large memberships who are vulnerable, they need to eat, they need to survive, including those who have a lot of money. You know, this part of this life, I told you, or I mentioned, that, you know, fire the source of surrendering to some of the candidates, for instance. They are former governors, ministers, and others. But because the resources are not enough for them, they want to continuously go away to the resources and political power. They will never want to quit. So this inordinate ambition that our political class usually have is one of the major challenges. Prof, pardon me,
I perceive that you are referring to members of political parties, and whilst the major parties may have a large membership base, I do believe as well that the fact is political parties' membership in Nigeria compared to the entire population of the country might even be somewhat insignificant. I'm not sure that 10% of the Nigerian population or up to 20% of the Nigerian population are carrying members of political parties. And even if they're up to 20 or 30%, how about the other 70% of voting age who are not party members, who will not receive anything from Honorable or Excellency when they are dishing out whatever it is they might be dishing out to their party members? How about those ones? Are they not able as well to identify competence when they see it?
Yes, I know where you are going. Yes. The answer is simple. Those ones are geared to whatever they do to survive. So, as long as I work and do my business and all that and I survive, let them do. Because this country cannot be fixed. Because this country is structured to remain underdeveloped for life, for ages. So as long as they are surviving from whatever they engage themselves in doing, then people can go to hell. And so, if I agree with you, if this number you are talking about are able to have, you know, get their PPE, the same things, and leave their offices, the comfort of their offices, and go to line up, no matter how long it takes for them to get PPE. They arm themselves with their PPE. On the day of election, of course, this wants to be able to decipher between those, even if the majority, major party produce this one, they tackle this old brigade that they are exactly now. This wants to be able to make a difference in terms of their voting. But because they sit in their comfort zone and they don't want to be associated with what they call politics, and whereas they have continuously refused to understand that these ones that go to the National Assembly, for instance, that these ones that go to the State House of Assembly, for instance, the councillors and all that, local government chairman, that was at the top there, is the one that they start to make policies and programs that would affect even where they feel that is their comfort zone. And that the totality of the policies that these ones make on legislation, policies and all that affect directly and indirectly on, you know, what they do, what the so-called comfort zones that they are. And so if these ones can't come out in their numbers, express themselves like some of us are expressing, it doesn't cost us anything to express what we are expressing today. It doesn't cost us anything to, you know, become voices for the voiceless. If they do this, of course, on the day of election, like what is also going on right now, the major ethnic, sorry, major political parties have been able to consume a recycled number of persons. You know, the whole brigade who are not tired, they want to recycle them. But yes, the new political parties or the younger ones, yes, are producing, you know, fresh minds who ought to have some level of competence. But
all right,
again, because these political parties have fewer number of membership, and then these number of persons that you have mentioned who have become those five in their so-called comfort zone have not taken responsibility in taking pain to go to whatever to
all right, Prof. Thank you. I'd like to take a few responses right now. Join the conversation, if you will. Call 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003, or 0817-93-0007. WhatsApp is on 0809-030-6416. We are live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH, live on Twitter as well. At Nigeria Info PH. Let's get your take on the matter of competence and leadership in Nigeria. Why does it appear that they seem to not go hand in hand? Is it that Nigerians are unable to identify competence when they see it? Is it that Nigerians just don't care, don't appreciate excellence, don't appreciate competence, don't appreciate an ability? @D_Edison on Twitter, replying to the question, goes, yes, Nigerians can't identify it. @RealIBK goes, yes, but the problem is that a stomach infrastructure ultimately controls the judgment of the mind. @AJFunishit, with corruption and system failure had made up Nigerians to choose incompetence over competence, especially party delegates. If not, why should someone choose certain persons to lead us? I've got a promise from Robert Demar. You're welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, welcome, my brother Dayo.
Go ahead, promise.
Good afternoon. All right, concerning competency of recognizing people who are competent or so, I think Nigerians, it's not as if Nigerians don't recognize competency. But I see that most Nigerians are just choosing to suffer by choosing incompetency. It's not as if we don't know competency to my brother. For example, those persons who don't have this PGC of 18, It's not too, you can't stay in your house and tell me that you decide who will lead this country. If you know this person is too good, or this person is not competent or so, you can't sit in your house to tell me that this person is not competent. It is left for you to go and get your PVC.
All right, promise. Great to hear from you. Onyeka from Adda, Georgia. Welcome. Please go on.
Good afternoon, Matt.
You're welcome, Onyeka. Go ahead.
Well, I think the problem is that we Nigeria, we know, we identify competence. But for the fact that for over the years, we feel that our vote doesn't count. So the majority that are supposed to be supposed to change the system, they don't want to go and vote because they feel that their vote doesn't count. Even when I'm leaving, it's difficult for me to go and convince so many things. The whole people I'm convincing, what they'll tell me that the vote doesn't count, it doesn't count, so no need of worrying themselves. They don't have any, they don't benefit anything from government. So for them going out, it's of no use to them. So that's the major reason.
Oh, then you can't great to hear from you as well. King, hello, you're welcome. King, go on.
Thank you. Good evening, Dad.
Hi, go ahead, please. Hello, King? Oh, sounded lost connection with him. Call back if you can, King. Via Facebook, let's see. Mbara Bara Barrick Boy goes, both Nigerians are blindfolded by party interest. Kanam Kai Vidan, I think. Okay, I'll come back to the messages shortly. We have a quick commercial break to attend, and our conversation continues right after that. Maybe another question or two for my guest. Stay with us. Hard Fast returns in a bit.
To thrive in a fast-changing world.
Tune in to 92.3 Nigeria Info. Nigeria. Keep your dial locked for sustainable development.
All right, welcome back to Hard Factor Nigeria in Fun here in Port Harcourt. Got about 7 minutes to go before top of the hour, 5 o'clock. The news update comes up. So maybe I can do a few messages, maybe a call as well, before the eventual commercial break. Via Facebook, Jaoli Vidon goes, competence can only be presented by a competent system. Sadly, competence only exists as propaganda in our electoral system. Hector Dukabo goes, I will agree with the prof, but not completely. It is true that Nigerian politics is not based on competence. Nigerian politics is based on who will win election and not who will deliver dividends to democracy. Nigerian politics is based on who is ready to spend the money to get people's votes. But the prof should also know that what is played at the national level also played at state level here. Because when you talk about competence against ethnicity, probably that is the reason the Calabaris find it hard to produce a governor in the state, because a certain ethnic group seems to be controlling the majority of the votes in the state. It may not go that well with you. Festus Walker goes, it's very difficult to talk about competence in our political terrain, because when the system that produces the candidates are not even competent. Instead, all they talk about and consider is ethnicity, religion, and selfish party interest. Of course, Nigerians know what they want, but how to get what they want is where the problem lies. We really need to do away with most of these outdated and incompetent politicians in our political system. And via... what time? Could have been dial. Okay, I think of ebook by Marco goes. I agree with your guest. That's where you come from and your strength in street politics and thuggery. All right, we have run out of time. We have to wrap it up now. Thanks for joining the conversation, especially my guest, Professor Kenneth Nweke. Professor, many thanks for your time.